Well, I don't think this was necessarily planned this way, Brother Austin, but a lot of some of the stuff you said has to do with what we're going to talk about this morning. So, big thumbs up there. Gives me a little bit of relaxation. But Brother Austin made a couple of comments as we were during the song service, and he says, I didn't prepare my heart today, and I wasn't ready, and I didn't wake up thinking about church very much, and, just kind of some of those are kind of phrases were out there as we were going through the song service, and that's okay, because much like many of us on from time to time, as we go through church, as we come to church on Sunday morning, or as we go through the weekend, we'll say it this way, as we go through the weekend, probably on Friday afternoon when we're getting off work, whether it's 5 o'clock or the night shift or whatever it may be. The first thing on our mind is, well, I better start preparing my heart for Sunday morning service. That's probably usually we start preparing for Sunday morning service about the time we get the kids in the car and we're on the way, or maybe when we hit the door. And that may be, that's some of us, may not be all of you. I'm not going to throw everybody into one clump there. But if I have the Lord has impressed my mind a great deal over the last few weeks to be thinking about some different things outside of the book of James, and I may return there at some point, may not. We'll see how the Lord directs my thoughts and directs my study. But if I could for just a little while this morning, I would actually like to talk to y'all about study, about studying God's Word, about what does studying mean in the Bible. Last weekend when we were at the nursing home, I read a verse, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I know most of us, when we think about the word study, we don't like to talk about study. You're saying, Brother Derek, I went through grade school, I went through middle school and high school, and was blessed maybe to go to college, and I'm done studying. I'm tired of studying. Well, whether you believe it or not, or whether you will acknowledge it or not, you will study something every single day. It just determines, it just depends on what you're studying. From time to time, we may be studying when we're driving down the road, we kind of study the habits of other people as they're driving. And we think to ourselves, well, I don't want to do like as that person did. I don't know about the rest of you, but when somebody changes lanes in front of me and doesn't use that wonderful blinker thing, it kind of irks me just a little bit. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to be diligent and use my blinker when I change lanes. And so we're all the time studying something. We're all the time studying the actions and the doings of maybe it's the environment around us, or we're studying politics, or we're studying the news, or we're studying, just society in general. I think one of the greatest things, not when I say greatest, I don't mean good. I mean just one of the most impactful things on our lives is probably the television that we sit day in and day out and watch. And whether or not you believe it or not, your mind is being impacted. It's being, it's the thing. Things that are coming over the radio waves or whatever the television waves, the cable, whatever it may be, you are being impacted some way. They're trying to have influence on you. I didn't learn this till just recently, probably a couple years ago. It was kind of reiterated through some things that I'd been looking at over the last few days. But believe it or not, when you go to the restaurants, the reason they have certain color schemes or certain things like that is because that some statisticians long ago figured out that you tend to buy more things, or you tend to spend more money, or tend to do things based on the colors that are around you. That's why most every fast food chain that you look at, you'll see the colors red and orange. Just think about McDonald's and Arby's and Chick-fil-A. Red, red, red. Go ahead and go to Burger King. Go to Sonic. There's red and orange everywhere. And if they don't have orange, they at least have red and yellow mixed to where you think an orange, and or at least the colorblind kid like myself does. And so they do use those colors to kind of change your mind, because they figured out that when people see these colors, they tend to eat more. They tend to think about being hungry. When you go into supermarkets or when you go into certain places, they strategically place items in different places to kind of impact the way you shop. That's why every time you check out, they have all the little candy bars, little $1.25, or no, now they're like $1.59, aren't they? A 20-ounce soda. $1.59 sodas there at the cashier's station. And the trick is to get you to buy it, because If you were smart, you would have picked up the 2 liter that was 99 cents in the back of the store. Instead, you're going to pay $1.59 for a 20 ounce, and so on and so forth. So there are things out there that you must observe and study, and there's things you need to be aware of. And I would challenge each and every one of you, especially if you're coming to church, to be preparing your mind. You need to be studying. And we're going to talk about a few of those things here this morning. If the Lord will bless the service to do so, in preaching the gospel, I'll tell you, there's a very divine nature in preaching, and there's a very fleshly nature in preaching. The divine nature is the way the Lord blesses the service, blesses the message, and blesses the man of God to deliver it to God's people. But the flesh nature, or the fleshly side of preaching, is if I haven't done my due diligence, if I haven't prepared, if I haven't done my studying of God's word, then God may not bless the service for you to hear it or for me to preach it. So in thinking about that, if the Lord, I've been thinking about these things, and when I think about studying, I'm just going to kind of talk to you here as just kind of some of my thoughts about studying, period. I can remember at times where I was in college and I was staying up all night, and I would have a book. Maybe it was thermodynamics, dynamics, electrical circuits, or whatever the case may be. I'll tell you one thing, I really love just to let that book sit on my coffee table. Okay, I didn't like reading it. If you've ever read any engineering documents, it's not a lot of fun. It's about circuits. It's about boring things. Some interesting things. Okay, but a lot of it's about a bunch of boring things. Who likes to crunch numbers all day? You ask Brother Adam, he'd rather cut on you, and I like to crunch numbers. Okay, that's just the differences there between me and him. And so, but it takes due diligence. It takes study. It took me actually picking up the book and actually digging into it, looking at it, working some problems, doing some analysis, and therefore I was able to process the information. Now, to make the link to you this morning, this Bible is information to you, okay? The Bible tells us over in Timothy that it is the inspired word of God. It's good for reproof, for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the question I would have to ask you is, if this is God's word, and do you actually believe God when it says this word is good for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, and for doctrine? Is it? I would have to say, but that the word of God is true, and I say yes. And this Bible left alone is just information. Okay, think about the books that you may have at your house. Maybe it's 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know. I never read that book or whatever. That's just the first title that popped into my head. I saw another one there that was laying on my desk called Blue Jazz or something like that, written by
Donald Miller.
Yeah, Miller. And I saw it the other day. I was like, you know what? I read half that book. I don't think I ever finished it. I got to thinking to myself, you know what? I'd really like to finish that book. Got another book that's in my bag right now out in the car. It's called The Bible. It's actually a take on the translation of the Bible back from 1611. And there's probably a lot of good information. At least Adam told me, because I know he read it. I haven't finished it. And, I got to thinking, the information of God, and even in His Word, is not good to us if we don't pick it up and read it. And when we think about that, much like those books that are laying in my home that I haven't finished reading, they're no good to me if I haven't finished reading them. Most of the time, I don't know how many of you do this. I know I find myself doing it a whole lot. But I might be on a news website and I see the headline of an article. I read the headline of the article, I might read a sentence or two, and then I just kind of brush it aside. Now, the question I would propose to us today is, how often do we do that with God's Word? How many times do we pick a verse, maybe think of your favorite verse, and I'm going to throw out one myself. I'm going to think of Romans chapter 10, verse 10. I believe it goes this way, that if we confess with our mouths the Lord God, that He shall save us. And if you just take that verse and leave it by itself and don't understand the context in which it was written in the entire book of Romans, and I mean quite literally reading Romans chapter 1 through chapter 10 to understand what that is actually meaning in that verse. And I'll just, for those listening at home, if you're wondering if I know what it means, I believe that is a very timely salvation thing, that if I will call on my Lord and Savior during prayer or any time during the day, I believe that He is capable of helping me in my problems here on this this earth. But I'll tell you, I think salvation was taken care of on the cross. I don't have to worry about those kinds of things. So this Bible left alone is just information to me and you. All right. Now, once you've read the information, once you've processed a little bit of the information, once you've dug in a little bit, maybe you just read it through, but you just kind of do some looking in it and you read it maybe front to back, or maybe a particular book that, or maybe a particular chapter. I would have to then say you've gone from information to knowledge. Now you have knowledge of God's Word because you know what is contained in the information. Now, if you wonder now you have to understand this. Once you have gotten knowledge and once you understand the things that are contained in God's Word, the Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 1, I believe it's verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So now you have knowledge. And once you have grabbed knowledge out of God's Word, now you need to be able to understand how to use it. And once you figure out how to use God's Word, you've got wisdom. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews in the latter portion of chapter, I believe it's chapter 5. Let me just grab it so I don't mess this up. But over in Hebrews chapter 5, he tells us something like this. He says in the latter portions of chapter 5 of Hebrews in verse 14. I would love to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to grab one verse for the sake of time. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Once you've had the ability to take this book and you are actually able to understand the things that are contained therein in God's Word, and you are actually pray to God and ask Him for wisdom, James chapter 1, we've heard of this recently, says that He can give us the wisdom that we need, and He will give it to us liberally if we just ask Him for it, because He can teach us how to use what's contained in His Word. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about. When I think about study and when I'm thinking about all these things, I think about if I just leave it alone, it's just information to me. It's no better than any book that I've got laying on my table at the house. But if I read it and I believe the promises of God, the promises of God, and I understand it, I begin to search it diligently, and then I figure out, you know what? If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, why would I bring that verse up? Because I'm telling you, if you respect God, and that's what fear means, if you respect God and fear Him appropriately, then you will actually take His Word and you will beg Him to teach you how to use it. If you respect Him to use His Word, which means yes, when He tells us not to do things or how to do things or how to carry out our business, how to raise our families, how to raise our children. And I'll tell you, I'm going to use a quote that my daddy used about 2 weeks ago. He says, the Bible tells us to not spare the rod on our children because it will be a long life for them if we do. Do you believe God's Word? Do you? Amen. Okay, good. We're at least there. And that's what, so some people, you know, in today's world say, well, you know, I don't feel like whipping my child is right, or I don't feel like whipping my son is right, or I don't believe in corrections of certain of those kinds of methods. Well, then you're questioning God's authority. Right. So here what I want to propose to y'all in time. Wow. That was a lot of time there, wasn't it? And if we go over to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28, he says, The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. See, one of the things that we have to understand about God's Word is the reason we need to study it is we need to know the information that's contained in it. Because from time to time, you and I, myself, may be asked questions. I'm sure, I think about Brother Austin, I'm sure he's got several friends over there at Sanford. They may ask him a couple of biblical questions. Well, you know, we've heard this so much, I've heard it so much in my lifetime. I hope y'all probably heard it, but I hope we don't hear it too much anymore. Well, it says somewhere in there. We say that a lot, you know. Well, it says somewhere in there, you know, this, that, and the other may get half a verse correct. Is that really what we ought to be doing? You know, when people come and ask you of the hope that is within you, you ought to be able to give an answer. And it says the heart. It says, grab this. It says the heart of the righteous studieth the answer. See, when you're asked a question, you need to know what your heart is saying. Okay? Your heart needs to be able to give an answer of what you believe. The heart is of the righteous studieth to answer. You know, and I got to thinking about some of the scriptures that I believe on Wednesday nights. Are y'all still going through the Articles of Faith? They're still going through the articles of faith. Okay, now when you read the articles of faith, or when you read those articles that we believe here at this church, you know, I found it kind of funny a couple of weeks ago. Adam sent me one of the articles, and he says, you know, hey, we're getting some scriptures together. Put some scriptures together, what you think, and see what you think, you know. And then later he sent me a document that he had written, printed out, and I thought it was very interesting because me and Adam, except for like one or two verses in between us, came up with the same text of what we would have written about if somebody asked us what one of our articles of faith was. And so I'd ask you today, if somebody comes to you today and asks you, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you have an answer ready? If somebody were to ask you, what do you believe was accomplished on the cross? Do you have an answer ready? My desire is I would hope and pray that if somebody were to come to you and say, do you believe in the elect family of God? You would say the Bible undoubtedly teaches about it. And you may turn over to Ephesians. You may turn to Romans. You may turn to even Jesus Christ himself referred to you and me as the elect family of God. I would hope that we would know where those things are at in the scriptures. And so what is it going to take for us to do that? It's going to take study. And I can just tell you, brothers and sisters, coming here on Sunday morning for about an hour, one of the hardest things about preachers and having to preach is that we understand that probably in a given hour, you might only process about 10 minutes of this information. And probably about 2 hours from here now, you're probably going to be thinking, well, Brother Derek was talking about such and such, but I don't really remember. You know, and so that's what, you know, we understand that. So what is it going to take? It's going to take studying. The Bible tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. We ought to always be ready to give an answer. And it also tells us there, when somebody asketh you. If somebody were to come asking you, you need to be willing to give an answer. Now, that's not a license for us to go and say, let's get into a debate. It just simply requires us to have an answer prepared. The Bible tells us over in Ephesians chapter 6, and it talks about the whole armor of God. It says that we are to actively preparing ourselves to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, how are you going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil if you don't have the tools necessary to stand against them? Have you been preparing yourself with it? The Bible actually tells us that in that portion of Scripture that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We need to have our feet shod with it, covered with it. Why? Because every step that you and I take in this life needs to be covered with a multitude of wisdom that can only come from God. We always need to have that wisdom of God on our minds, on our hearts, ready to give an answer. And you're saying, well, Brother Derek, you're stepping on my toes a little bit because I don't necessarily have the answers. It's okay. I don't either. Every time that I may have a conflict or a problem, I may not be able to snap my fingers and go to a scripture. But you know what? I believe God's word is true, that if I have a problem or a trouble, I know I can go dig in his word and I will find an answer. We need to always be have our minds ready, because I'll tell you, there are people out there, if you're studying the right things. See, when I say study, we need to be aware that we're studying the right things. See, myself, I get a little caught up every now and then. I'm going to confess something to you, but don't read too much into it just yet. You know, every now and then I'll get myself caught up in studying news. I get to reading it too much. And you know what? It depresses me. It really does. Because you know what? Most of that stuff they're reporting ain't news. It's not news. It's useless information. It's meant to distract you. It's meant to clog your brain. It's meant to fill you up inside with a sense of fear. Okay? I don't know. You know, I know 9/11 was just this past week. And you know what? I was a little nervous about what may happen with all the news reports. You know what? How do I even really know the validity? You know, how valid are these reports anymore? It's not news that was probably created years ago. There's so many news networks now. They're doing what I call just filling airtime. I don't care about a football player who punched out his fiance, who's now staying with him and all this other nonsense. You know what? Why is that even news? Just because he makes a 6, 7, 8-figure salary? I don't know how many that is, by the way. But just because he's making a big salary, does that make him important to me? No. What's important in life? What's important to you? I'll tell you right now, God's Word's important to me. I love it. I'll tell you, the more and more I do, me and Sammy love doing this. I think I might have shared this with y'all in times past. One of the things me and her love to do is if we're out in public and we're out at a restaurant, we people watch. It's quite hilarious. And you just watch and observe other people. You watch their mannerisms. You watch how they interact. You see a family and the way they eat dinner with their family. And you watch and you're like, you know what? That's kind of nice. I'd like, look how their kids are being well behaved. I wonder what they did different. You see those kids over there? They're running around the restaurant. I don't want to do that. My kids ain't going to be doing that. Observation. See, a lot of studying. See, the thing about studying is it means to labor. It's to give diligence, okay? See, studying is not just an observation. It's not a scanning. It's not just a skimming over something. That's the way I used to study. I used to skim over things and thought I'd pass engineering classes, and that C-, man. When I got that, I just jumped for joy because that meant I didn't have to repeat the class. But you know what? When it comes to God's service, I want A-pluses. That's what we all should aspire to, is A-pluses. Why? Because our Lord demanded perfection. He demanded perfection out of me and you. Now, we also understand we're never going to be perfect as Christ was perfect. But we have something. We have a standard, a goal that we are to be reaching to. The Bible tells us over in Philippians chapter 3 that there is a prize out there that we're to be pushing forward to. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted. The Apostle Paul wanted to look at the life that he lived, the one that before the road to Damascus, he looked at that life and he says, you know what? I've counted all his dung, the popularity, the wealth, the fame. He was a man that was revered by people around him. But you know what? The Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus. And the Lord, by revelation, by talking with him on that road, gave to him the true message of Jesus Christ. You know what? In Philippians chapter 3, he tells us he counted all of the popularity and the fame as dung to push toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. I tell you, we've got stuff that we can be studying about and coming, the knowledge that we have in His Word to come to. Because as I said earlier, there are people out there that want to deceive you. Did you know there are people out there studying you? You're saying, Brother Derek, what are you talking about? I talked about it last Sunday at the nursing home. We walk around with a name on us. Some might call us primitive Baptist, churchgoers, Christians. And there are people actively out there studying Christians to criticize them, to make a public mockery of them, to put us to shame. And they're studying each and every one of us. Out there, when we're in public, whether you're in your jobs, whether you're in your schools, whether you're in the community, at Walmart, driving down the road, I tell you, here in a small town like Jasper, you cut somebody off, the person that you just cut off might know you. Yes. Birmingham, you don't really have that issue, but I did find out Birmingham's a very small place about Friday. Ran into a high school friend of mine, ain't seen her in 9 years. Her and her husband were there eating lunch. It is a small world. When I found out, when I talked to her, where they all had been, they had just moved back from Texas. It's a small world. So here in the community, you have to be careful, especially in a small church. When you have a small church that stands out and people know who you are, you're a light out there in the community, and people are watching you. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 24, it says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." I'll tell you, their heart, the wicked that is out there in the world, they're studying destruction. And young ladies out there in the community, or out here in the church this morning, let me tell you, daddies, this is to you also, and mamas, and well, it's really to everybody. Let's just say it that way. And this is to young men too, because the more and more I thought about this, there will be people that come along in this world that will seek to destroy your character. Yep. You know, as I begin thinking about it, and, you know, I think about the way people destroy each other's characters and the things that happen, you know, whether it's, you know, getting people to drink, whether it's getting people to do things outside of marriage that they shouldn't be doing, whether it's just all sorts of things, okay, that are out there. They would seek to poison you with drugs. They're trying. The thing is they think that if they can bait you just well enough, they can get what they want. And it happens all around us. I'm not trying to say I'm preaching against the government this morning, but the government is out there actually devising ways and studying destruction to figure out how to tear down the religious freedoms that we have in this country. They're seeking to do it. They're doing it now. I could go into a whole long story about that, but there's a bill before the Senate right now seeking to destroy our First Amendment rights. And if you think it ends with political donations, you're wrong. It doesn't end with political donations. It ends with your freedom of speech and what we are able to come here and worship and believe here freely in the communities. That's what they seek to destroy. They're seeking loopholes. I tell you, I don't like it when my freedom, the freedom that we have to come here is attacked. But they are studying destruction. They seek to, you know, we think about ways that, you know, young girls, you know, I guess I'm going to speak my own personal experience, you know. We think, you know, we use the old term, you know, beauty, skin deep, that whole thing like that. And, you know, guys, we really love things like that are on the surface. We see pretty cheerleaders on TV and we're just got good gawky eye, you know, big eyes as the old cartoon would tell us. And, you know, what we don't understand is we know nothing about that person except for the physical appearance. That physical appearance can be very deceiving. Guys, same way with us. I used to think that somehow if I worked out hard enough, I'd get that six pack of abs and I would just be just the, you know, Mr. Greek over here. And I would look appealing to folks and they say, I'm sorry, sweetheart, I'll keep working on that. But you think about, you know, people change their physical appearance to get things that they want. Now, I'm not casting any shame or anything like that for those that may be overweight and want to lose weight and those kinds of things. Those are very good things. Those are very healthy things, help you live long on the earth. But people actually change their physical appearance because they think if they could wrap it up in a nice, beautiful present box, doesn't matter what's on inside, you know, I tell you. It does matter what's on the inside, I'm saying, but the illusion that they give you is that as long as it's wrapped in a nice pretty box, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. What's on the inside. They study destruction. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. You know, as I got to thinking about this, you know, we sit around at the office time after time. And if any of them get this tape or something, here's some free information for them. You know, they sit around all the time talking about how to get ahead, how to get this level, how to get that level. And the things that they talking about, the things that they're willing to do just to get that extra pay, to get that extra step, to get that standing in their jobs. It's very disturbing to me. Because that doesn't matter what kind of character or person that they might have to manipulate to step over. It doesn't matter who they might have to defame or who they might have to just cast a poor shadow over. They don't care. All that matters to them is about how they get to the top. And as I sit here and listen to this, it really, for me, just listening to it helps me to understand a little bit about the way these folks study destruction. And you know what? I don't like being around that. I like to figure out ways just to keep my nose clean, the Lord to bless me, to keep my job, and just go to work every day. If I can go to work every day, be happy, and go home every day, be happy, you know what? That's a pretty good life. Amen. But they actively study each other. They study little things that don't even matter. How his hair's comb, whether he already wears a red tie or a blue tie. He's wearing the power tie, whatever that stuff. I don't understand all that. But there are people that waste a lot of time and energy looking at all that nonsense. And all it is about putting somebody else down? How can they step over somebody to get what they want? And the reason I tell you all this is because I want you to be aware of these kinds of things. Be aware of these things in your community. Don't ever sacrifice the knowledge that the Lord has given you through His Word for those kinds of things. So they seek and to study destruction. You know what? Here in the latter portion of this chapter, the Bible actually tells us that here in here in the Proverbs, it says that there was a man who walked by the way of the slothful. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw it and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. See, lots of what I've just described to you is what we have to do in life day in, day out. As you may see these examples out there in the community, you might see those people who have their houses overgrown with thorns and nettles and the walls broken down. What they haven't done is they haven't labored. They haven't worked. They've allowed this world to beat them up. They've made sacrifices for things for greedy gain. The Bible tells us that we are to look upon these things and consider it. And it doesn't stop there. The Bible told us to consider it well. That doesn't mean skim it. That doesn't mean just to brush over it. That doesn't mean we just kind of glance upon it for a minute and think about it for a minute. No, it actually means to study it. You know, the last few years while I've had the opportunity, you know, and especially now that me and Sammy are married and I hate to put Emily on the spot back there, but I mean, I've actively have been watching the way she is raising her children. I'm sure Laura and Alan have done well. Emily and Adam, they're a couple. There we go. So I'll make sure Adam's on the hot seat there too. But I just wanted, hey, we're observing that. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to observe. It's been a very good thing to observe. You know what? I've considered it well. I've received some instruction. I received parenting is not going to be easy. Makes me a little scared. But that's okay because God's grace is good to carry us through those things. We can observe it. We can consider those kinds of things. You know what? I've observed some families with some little heathen children. And realized, you know what? I might want to make sure I keep that rod close by. You know what? I've observed positions in the company that I work in. You know what? Some positions just ain't worth it. I don't know what will happen to me over the next few years as I've kind of come to some conclusions in my mind about my career. But you know what? There's a lot of things in this world just ain't worth it. So we consider things well. The Bible tells us that we need to look on these things and consider it well. So to kind of grab some points here, so thus far I want to kind of sum up and then we'll continue on. We need to study so that we have an answer and be able to always give an answer to anyone who may ask of us. So we need to be studying these things of God's Word. When somebody asks you why you go to church, you ought to just simply tell them, because I love God. And the reason I love Him is because He first loved me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Just give a verse. Be able to always give an answer. Be aware of those that are out there that may come to you asking questions or come seeking to defile you in such a way because they may be studying destruction. And therefore, we need to be able to stand in the evil day, as Ephesians chapter 6 told us. We need to be able to stand having ourselves prepared with God's Word. And in fact, I didn't say this earlier, but I talked about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But the Bible also says that we need to have the sword of the Spirit with us. And this sword, the one that we hold here in our hands, the Word of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword to cut even to the marrow of the bone. It is a good source of knowledge and wisdom that the Lord can give to us if we'll just pick it up and study it. One of the things that the Bible also says, I want you to understand this. Thinking about considering things and the way we need to make sure that we're considering those examples that are out there. But we also consider maybe other things like nature and things that may be around us. I love nothing more than driving 22 because it's very scenic. Compared to 65, it's very scenic. I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of driving I-65. But I like driving I-22 because I love watching certain things. You know how, you know, I know I'm colorblind, okay, but I actually can see some colors, okay, some, not all, some. And I like seeing the colors change. Sometimes it looks red to y'all, may look brown to me, but I still see a change. And I like to see the fall come in. In the mornings when I'm going to work, I like to see the sunrise. And I like to see it set in the evening. The Bible also told us to consider the lilies of the field and the fowls of the air, how the Lord feeds them. And yet even the lilies and how they grow, and how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all of his great, you know, all of his beauty and all of his riches was not arrayed like one of those. I look at stuff like that. We consider these things. The Bible in that context for us in that chapter, it's Matthew chapter 6. Verses 26 through 28, that portion that I'm just talking about. The reason we need to be considering these things is because the Lord told us that we needed to be content with food and raiment. You know, a lot of times we get lost in our minds because we go out seeking things. We, like, again, TVs, I'll tell you, I've probably wasted a lot of time in recent months studying about cars. Me and Sammy are actively looking for a car, and I was at the car dealer yesterday. It just gave me a headache by the time I got out of there because, you know, I just wasn't ready to purchase. But, you know, the price was kind of good, and I was like, I don't know, and I got to give the guy an answer tomorrow. But you know what? You know what? If I don't get a car right now, you know what? I can still be content. I guarantee you, if Sammy's car broke down tomorrow, I'd make arrangements to drive her to work, drop her off, go to work. Then I'd get my stuff done. I'd go pick her up. We would do just fine. Now, if we lost both cars, we got to probably make an adjustment. But to be content with food and raiment. See, a lot of times we go out there seeking all these things. And that's why I was talking about seeking gain in companies. You know, yeah, it would be very easy for me to go try to manipulate and study destruction to try to get that next promotion or something like that, to step over somebody just to seek greedy gain so that I might have cars and houses and all these other things. But you know what? Bible tells me I don't need all that stuff. Do you believe? Yeah, do you believe it? Do you believe that you don't need all that stuff? I tell you, I feel so guilty. I mean, I beat myself up over the last weeks myself because the only thing I wanted, and Alan's going to laugh at me as soon as he hears me say this, but the first thing I wanted when I got out of college is I wanted a LED 46-inch, 120-hertz Samsung television set. And I wanted that thing. And I was going to do it, and I look back on it now, it's probably been one of the biggest distractions in my life. I found it kind of interesting last night. I was over at Sammy's house, and their parents took the little internet. We were having some jokes about this yesterday. They took the little internet, hotspot, Verizon hotspot. They took it with them on vacation. We didn't have internet last night. You know what? I found out last night I could do without it. For a couple of nights, it was actually okay. Observation, considering those things, considering the environment around us. What do we really need to sustain life? And here's my question to you. This is kind of where I'm coming to. If something were to happen in this country, and I'm serious, if something were to happen in this country, and I'm not preaching fear in your minds, I don't believe I'm doing that. I'm just saying, think outside the box just a little bit, please. The electrical grid in this country is very vulnerable. I know it. I work in the business. Don't believe me? Come spend a few hours with me. I'll show it to you. The electrical grid in this country, if it goes down, think about everything that electricity is tied to. How long do you think you will survive? And I'm saying, when I say it goes out for a long time, I mean for a long time. People thought the tornadoes of April 27th back in 2011, they thought being, I'll tell you, my apartment complex, hilarious. Okay, I'll just tell you a quick story. When I was there in my apartment complex, I found a grocery store, you know, about 20 minutes away. I went and got some groceries, what I could sustain for a couple of days. I went there and got it. You know what? I had the ability to survive on eating some food. Now, grocery stores, you know, that was just a blessing that there was a grocery store. What if there ain't no grocery store? What if when you get to the grocery store's cleaned out? And I'm looking at Brother Jeremy back there because I know a place I'd like to go because I know he's got food. I know he's got vineyard. I think he got some muscadines and some grapes out there. I know he's got some food out there. It'd be really good to have. But if the electrical grid goes down in this country, what are you going to do? I tell you, the first thing I'm going to do is bow my head and pray.
Amen.
Pray that the Lord will have given me enough grace, enough wisdom, enough understanding to be able to survive and protect my family. But you know what it takes, folks? It takes studying. I thought about here recently of pulling Austin aside and learning how to hunt a little bit more. I mean, I can shoot a gun, but just because you shoot a gun don't mean you can hunt. I'd probably scare every single deer off within about a 25-mile radius. Then what you going to do? Hike 25 miles? I hadn't fished since I was a kid. I wonder if I could still do it. We got to study. We need to study God's Word because I believe God and through God and His Word, He gives us everything we need to sustain life. He teaches us a lot of things. You don't understand some of the Old Testament laws that were given back in Leviticus and Numbers, the commandments that He gave the nation Israel? He gave them the cleanliness laws. That's where the fact that we have clean water and all the medical science that we have today, it originated there. God's Word contains a host of information for me and you. But we've got to read it. Not only will it teach us how to sustain life, it'll teach us how to live. It'll teach us how to treat each other. It's going to teach us how to worship Him. But it takes study. And the reason I wanted to, I've kind of painted a couple of pictures. You know, things not to study, things we need to study. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it tells us over there that of many books. Well, I'll make sure I read it right. I'll just turn over there. I'm close enough. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Now, we can study a whole lot of things. I mean, you think about some of the great, the professors of old, or you think about Socrates and Plato and all these many, you know, those that did a lot of studying, the things that, you know, they did. When you're studying all the wrong things, it is much weariness to the flesh. But I will tell you this, if you would pick up your Bible and you study it to no end, it will never be weary to your flesh.
Amen.
I believe that. There's too much contained in here. I could probably study it a lifetime and never catch every inch of it. That's amazing to me. And last but not least, one of the verses that we've known all of our lives, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, Brother Austin, I wasn't picking on you too terrible this morning. I hope not. Maybe the congregation was. But it takes a lot of study to be able to come. You know, we come here for an hour and a half on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday afternoon, and a brief amount of time on Wednesday night. It's not a lot of time, folks, a week. You know, part of what I've had to figure out in the last few weeks, months, maybe year, is I had to kind of figure out what is my calling or what is my ministry. I'm not very gifted with very intelligent words. I can't come here before you and speak maybe like Brother Adam or Brother Michael Goins with excellency of vocabulary. I hated English growing up, and I'm not a big fan of it today. I liked numbers. That's just who I am. But one of the things that I have always believed about myself is I wanted to try to encourage others. So if through preaching I can try to encourage you just a little bit to study, I hope you will take these things and take them to heart. Study. And it doesn't mean just, you know, it's good just to read. But how, you know, some of us, you know, say, you know, as I said earlier, you know, you may say, I got a problem, I got a trial, I don't know where to find it. Ask somebody. Ask Brother Charles. Ask Brother Adam. ask, you know, talk to your brothers and sisters. Figure it out. Study. You know, one of the things I've understood is it's a lot of fun. Excuse me, no, it's not. It's really awful to have to study by yourself. When I was in college and I was in engineering school, I really hated studying by myself. Really hated it. One, because I was slow by myself. Two, it was always nice to get somebody else's opinion or on a method of how to work a problem. There's a thing, you know, we have a group Bible study on Wednesday nights. It's good to be able to come together and study in a group under the leadership of our pastor, of course. But it's good for us to be able to have that study time, to be able to bounce. You know, Sammy will tell you, lots of times when I'm on my way to church in the mornings, I'm talking to her about what I've been studying. And she gives me some really excellent feedback. It's really good to do that. And it's not just good on Sunday morning. The Bible tells us over in Acts 17 and verse 11. I'm going to read a couple of verses. And well, I think it would be nice if I finished the scripture I started with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study to be good workmen of Jesus Christ. Rightly dividing it. You know, there's a way actually to wrongly divide God's word. And we do it. Actually, we hear it almost every day. Turn on the television. You might hear it there. People take verses out of context. You know, I would think if I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and I just picked out a few verses out of there. I think that's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would probably think Paul, the Apostle Paul, was suicidal. He had such a desire to part from this world. If I just read just a few scriptures, I would have thought he was suicidal without getting the whole message. If you read on and you continue the message, you understand that he understood that the difference in what he... I guess the verse I'd be looking is that he understood the difference, okay? But if you just grabbed a few verses, you would be out of context. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says something like this. Actually, let's start in verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. See, they were more noble. Here in Acts, it was referred to them that they were more noble because they received the word with all readiness of mind. Why? And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I tell you, my challenge here to the congregation of Zion's Rest is any preacher that stands before you in a pulpit, and I know y'all say, you know, my daddy, Elder Charles Kitchens, he's been here for 22 years. I love him. He's my daddy. But you know what? I find myself at times, he may preach something, and I'm like, I don't know about that. And I go search it. Find out what he preached was right. But I didn't know anything about it. I'm not saying what he's preaching up here before he's wrong. Do not take that message away. I am not saying that, okay? That's pretty blunt. Brother Adam's the same way. And I expect those two gentlemen, if I'm preaching, they're doing the same thing to me. Right. Now my encouragement goes, I want the rest of you to do the same. Take what you hear on Sunday morning and search it, the scriptures, daily. See, Brother Austin says, you know, I didn't wake up with it on my mind. I wasn't ready. You know, I wasn't prepared. Did you come here to the church this morning? I'm sorry, brother. I love you. I love you. I love you. I seriously do. But if you come to the church, are you coming with readiness of mind? Are you ready to receive it? Are you ready to hear it? Most of the time we're not. Why? Because I don't know what we did on Saturday, but I mean, we're probably feeling a little guilty about something. I don't know what it may be. But there's something, you know, it could be anything during the week. We come in here, we're not ready to receive it. I've heard these comments, oh, the preacher was stepping on my toes today. Brother Charles, you just hit me right here today. Well, it's not like my dad was in your business, was trying to figure all that out before he preached. The Lord might have been. The Lord might have been stepping on your toes a little bit. But did you come ready to receive it? Because one of the things about studying God's Word is we got to accept and realize that what we think about it is not necessarily what the Lord says about it. See, I get caught in the flesh too at times. I get it on my mind that, well, that person did me wrong. I don't want to talk to them. Or that person did me wrong. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But you know what? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says to love your enemies. The Bible tells us that we need to be loving our neighbor as ourselves. Heard a wonderful sermon one time by Elder Sonny Piles that said, it talked about who is your neighbor. You ever find it? Go look it out. I tell you, anybody you come in contact with is your neighbor. All of God's children, even the wicked out there, you're to still show them love. But you know what? We don't know any of these things unless we dig into God's Word. I tell you, it's been a fascinating study for me. Thinking about some of these things, and you know, I listened to several sermons trying to help bring some clarity to some things, and you know, I hope to spend a lifetime studying. I hope to spend a lifetime mainly studying God's Word. But you know what? While we live this life, we're all examples to each other. And we all kind of rub off on each other to some degree. Whether y'all believe that or not, we do. We interact, we fellowship. Help us to study to love each other more. Help us to study so that we can worship together better, more. Help us, oh Lord, to dig into His Word and just take it and apply it. Because if we don't, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 4 in the last verse. We know what we need to be doing. Let's just start today and do a better job of it. I know I need to do a better job of it. Sometimes, you know, the week may go by and I feel like, you know, Sunday's coming and I haven't done my diligence. But I hope it's been good for y'all this morning. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.